Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Once again, we're in the spring, so we start at 8:30, and we're first on the plate today, this morning, is Barry Besson on boys golf, and you had a pretty busy week there, Barry.
Yes, we did. We had three 18-hole meets. By Friday, there was a little fatigue in play. Started the week on Tuesday. We had the Camden Conference Championship at Marshall. We went into it. We were 1 point out of first place. Lakeview was in first. We were second. Canby was in third, one behind us. And it set up for kind of a few fireworks there with the team aspect. For the day, we took third. Canby won the day at 327. Lakeview was second at 332. We were at 335, so we were pretty tightly bunched there. Eight shots, followed by Dawson Boyd, Central Minnesota Christian, Community Christian, Minneota, McRae, YME, TMB, Ortonville, and RCW. But what that did then was by us coming in third with the point system, Lakeview was able to, even though Canby won the day, Lakeview was able to maintain the season lead, and Lakeview ended up being the overall season team champion, even though Canby was the champion for the day. And also it ended up Lakeview with, I think, 45 points, Canby with 44, and we had 43. So it kind of came right down to the last few holes. Canby and one of their kids shot 77. Lakeview, actually, their best player, who was one of the top players in the state, Carson Ball, actually shot 64.
Ooh, wow.
Played the par fives and six under par.
Oh, my goodness.
And, so some kids got hot at the right time. But, we had a good score and a good day, and, nothing to feel bad about there. We kind of just played golf. We didn't really have anyone get hot like that, but we just kind of played golf. And, got a couple kids actually maybe didn't play as well as they'd like to. But individually for us, we had Carson Bessman with a 78, four double bogeys. Three of them are on par threes, so he's kicking himself a little bit there. Caden Stender shot 83. Noah Arndt shot 86. Griffin Kranz shot 88. Matt Arndt shot 89. Gavin Carl shot 89. So to have everyone under 90 was pretty solid for the day. We ended up with four players on the all-conference team. Carson Bessman, who was the second-rated player in the Carson Bowl, obviously with the way Carson played. They went in the round pretty close, it was like within a shot or two. But the 64 will create some separation. Sure. Caden Stender made all-conference. Gavin Carl made all-conference, and Noah Arndt made all-conference. So it was good to have four kids make the all-conference team there. So that wrapped up our conference season. On Wednesday, we went to the Benson Invitational, which was a good chance to see a few other section teams as well as a few of the area 2A teams that we don't see much. It was a good opportunity. That a good golf course. Avoided the rain on Wednesday, and it stayed dry there. And I understand we had a little rain back here, but we stayed dry. And we were able to win the event. We won a 12 team event. We were tied with Osakis, won the fifth score tiebreaker with a 332, which is a decent score on that, good score on that course. Dawson Boyd was third at 335, followed by Minnewaska, Morris, ACGC, Bold, BBE, McRae, Benson, RCW, and Community Christian. So other than Osakis, Minnewaska, Morris, the rest of those were section teams. So it was good to see, a number of teams that we play in the section. Individually for us, Carson Bessman was medalist with a 76, won the event. Then we went to Griffin Kranz, shot an 81, took eighth place. Great score there, especially the seventh grader. Grant Bierke shot 87, Matt Arndt shot 88, Gavin Carl shot 92, Noah Arndt shot 92 for us. So, but again, 332 is an excellent score there, and So that wrapped up that event, kind of a traditional event we go to every year. And then yesterday we had our final regular season event, something new. We went down to the RTR put together a little invitational down at the Tyler course, which is a nice 18-hole course.
It is 18.
Yes, it's an 18-hole course. In fact, I've heard discussion that our conference tournament might be moving there next year. So we were able to go down there. We had six teams there this year. We were a little shorthanded. We only had four kids playing, and a couple of other kids went to play baseball and other things, which was okay. But it was quite warm and very breezy down there. Got up on the Buffalo Ridge, and the wind was blowing pretty good. So, and I think, like I said, I think we're all a little tired from earlier in the week, but, and no one had played the course, but, I felt given the circumstances, we did all right. We ended up fourth out of six. Dawson Boyd won it with 317. They played very well. Laverne was second to 327. Marshall was third. We were fourth at 349. And RTR was fifth, and Mineota was sixth. And individually, our four, we were led Carson Bessonen, shot 77, placed third. Then we had Gavin Carl shot 86, Noah Arndt shot 87, Griffin Kranz shot 99. So just playing with the four, we didn't have any ability to toss any out. So, given the circumstances and finding out the conference course was a good opportunity to go down there and let everyone play it because, like I said, none of them had ever seen it before. So,
yeah. So, the quick runs are a long number of holes, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a few ponds, a few different ponds out there. It's kind of a mix of some tighter, bigger trees, and then you get out to the kind of the west, northwest side of the clubhouse by the airport, and it gets pretty open. It gets a little longer there, but it gets pretty open. So it's a good mix of holes. It's a hilly course.
Yeah, good.
It was a good event, and we concluded our regular season.
Yeah. So now everything is postseason, and that starts this up and coming week.
Yeah, Wednesday we have our first day of the section tournament at Eagle Creek and Wilmer. The tournament starts at 9 o'clock. It's tee time, so I don't know what time everyone's teeing off yet. After that first day, they'll make a cut. The top four teams move on, plus of individuals that are not on those top four teams, a set number, or it's a percentage of the field, moves on. And then the second day is Wednesday, May 29th, also at Eagle Creek.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll hear all about that next Saturday morning, Barry.
All right.
Barry Bessonen on Boys Golf. We'll get on the phone and call Kip Stender and talk about the girls.
Congratulations to the graduating class from Madison Modeling, Madison, Minnesota. Graduation is the perfect time to look ahead, offer encouragement, and express optimism and excitement about the graduate's future. You don't even need a crystal ball to do it. Some of the graduates at Lac Parle Valley High School this year include Thomas Mitchell, Caden Molden, Caden Mortensen, Keaton Peters, Peyton Rademacher, Jonathan Redepenning, and Kaylee Rios. Best of luck to you and your fellow graduates from Madison Modeling, Madison, Minnesota. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson salutes the following Dawson Boyd graduates: Riker Stewart, Blake Thompson, James Weber, Charles Will, Carmen Wilsey, Haley Anderson, Samuel Ashling, Desiree Athey, Conway Bellify, Colt, and Parker Bothan. Here's to new opportunities open to you with a diploma you hold as proof of diligence, knowledge, and skills. Congratulations to the Dawson Boyd graduating class from Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods.
All right, back here at the radio station, talking long distance to Kip Stender. He's down in the metro area for, I think, day two of an 18-hole event with Tri-State. Some pretty good teams down there, Kip, but let's talk about the conference first.
Yeah, we had conference on Tuesday down in Marshall. And the girls golfed very well. We golfed 5 strokes better than last year, but unfortunately, Dawson golfed a little better and shot a 352 to win the tournament, and they won the overall conference, so congratulations to Dawson Boyd. They have had a really good season and are a really good team. So we finished 3 strokes back at 355, and Camby was third with a 417, and Community Christian was fourth with a 425, and Lakeview was fifth with a 444.
So basically a two-team race, right?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. And we're both from the north half, so every nine-hole event, the winner gets 6 points, the second-place team gets 5. So we actually finished third overall in the conference, I guess you'd say, but us and Dawson definitely by far the two best teams.
Right.
So leading the Eagles was Caitlin Kittleson, who shot an 82, finishing second. Molly Harbison shot a 91, finishing sixth. Peyton Sack shot a 90, finishing fifth. Kate Alstead had a really great day, shot a 92. She finished seventh. Grace Fosick shot a 102, 15th. And Carly Cran shot a 109. It's her personal best for 22nd. We ended up with 3 all-conference golfers, Caitlin Kittleson, Molly Halverson, and Peyton Sachs. So that that was their first, what we consider our postseason, started Tuesday. And today and or yesterday, we're down at the Tri-State Invitational. David Kaltoff from Chanhassen does a nice job putting this tournament together, inviting teams, and just a beautiful setting, a beautiful day, a little warm. Really, the heat took a lot out of the girls, so they rested. They went to bed early last night and looking to get up today and improve on our score yesterday.
Okay. You want to go through how they did yesterday?
Yeah, I'll get to the that tournament. Just 1 second. Today, yesterday passed. All right. So, yesterday we finished 85 over. Caitlin Kittleson led us with an 86, which was about 6 strokes better than last year for her. Peyton Sachs shot a 95. Kate Alstead shot a 93, so that's 2 good days in a row where she's shot in the low 90s. Grace Fosick shot 100, and Molly Halverson shot a 99. And Carly Kranz finished with a 118. So we shot a team score of 373. And today we'll be teeing off at 11:15 and giving it our best shot.
Okay, all right. So the only this completes your regular season. The only thing left is 2 Wednesdays for the section tournament. Correct?
Yes. So next the next 2 Wednesdays will be at Eagle Creek, you know, we're definitely an underdog. Dawson and Bold are both very good teams. Bold and Dawson competed at Benson on Wednesday. I think Bold beat Dawson by 1 stroke. So
okay.
The three of us are solid teams, and any three of us could win it. But we're definitely, you know, the underdog, I believe, and we're going to give it our best shot.
Oh, that's all you could do. So
yeah, no, they're a great group of kids. We're having a good time down here, and they're working hard. They're learning, you know. Just we're hoping to peak the next 2 Wednesdays, and I think we're on track for that.
All right. Well, best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, okay?
All right. Thanks, Dick.
Kip Stender on Girls Golf will have the tennis report after this.
Lee Motor Company in Dawson says graduation is an exciting time and marks both an ending and a beginning. It's warm and big dreams for the future. This graduating salute comes to you from Lee Motor Company in Dawson.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
The Lac Parle County Historical Society invites you to a pancake breakfast Sunday, May 19th, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Madison VFW. On the menu, pancakes, sausage, coffee, and juice. Free bowl donations will be taken with takeouts available. The museum open house will be on Sunday from noon to 3. as this is the year of the national elections. 2024, we'll see programming on elections. There will be historical information regarding the prohibition of the sale of liquor, stories of local politicians, the women's right to vote movement, and others. So check that out at the Lac Parle County Historical Society Museum, South Highway 75, Madison. That open house again coming up Sunday, May 19th from noon to 3 p.m. Over in Marietta, there will be a meatball dinner on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Marietta Fire Hall. Enjoy meatballs with mushroom gravy, mashed potatoes, calico beans, coleslaw, bread, dessert, and a beverage. Takeouts and in-town delivery is available by calling on Sunday, 320-668-2153. Starts at 1 p.m. Meal includes one free bingo card. Proceeds will benefit the building of a community center in Marietta. This event on Sunday, sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Committee.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Dawson Boyd, Lac Parle Valley, the Bad Guys boys tennis team. They call themselves the Bad Guys. Coach Austin Ireland joins me. And still the Bad Guys there, Austin?
Bad to the bone.
Well, you kind of got some hot weather this past week to play in, especially on Thursday, huh?
Yeah. You actually got to be outside, though, is the main thing. We got it in. There was no rain. So that's the main thing.
One thing about your team this year, you're unable to play any home meets because of the courts, but you're always on the road. How are the boys handling that this year?
It's kind of a challenge, but I think that they kind of enjoy the bus rides. You know, I think that's, looking back as a player too myself, you know, bus rides are always, you never get back when you're in adulthood. You know what I mean? And if you do riding a bus, it's usually not as enjoyable as it is when you're in high school.
That's right.
But it is, yeah, it's difficult at times. You know, you don't have your fan base there. It's hard to really kind of get motivated at times. And, you know, mom, dad, and grandma, grandpa, and stuff like that aren't able to watch you. That can be difficult. But I think at this point, we're kind of used to it.
Right. All right, fill us in on how the boys did this week.
Yeah, so last Saturday, we went to, right before the show, we went to Benson. We took on Pipestone. That ended up being a pretty solid match. It was good. It was a great day overall for tennis. We ended up beating Pipestone 6-1. Gunnar Olsen at one singles did a nice job. Battling close one in that first set, went into a tiebreaker. Winning the tiebreaker, 7-3. And then that second set won that second set, 6-3. Luke Stock at two singles ended up losing 6-3 in that first set. And then went to the tiebreaker in that second set. Wasn't able to force the third set, ended up losing 7-5 in that tiebreaker. So it was a really close battle up with Pipestone. Mitchell Myers, he had a nice win. He won 6-0, 6-1 at the third singles. And then Brody Boston winning at four singles. Our one doubles team, trying to get these guys to gel. Well, they're both really good players, but they just haven't been able to click. Tony Reap and Brody Nelson, they ended up winning in straight sets, 6-3, 6-3. Two doubles, they've been kind of hot and cold. They were hot the other day. Hudson Geezy and Thomas Felton, they won 6-1, 6-0. And even at the match, Thomas was like, hey, slow down. Let's milk this out a little bit more. They were just cruising around along. Hudson's done a great job first year out, and he's done an excellent job playing on the varsity squad. And then Pipestone was open at third doubles, so we had Aaron Will, the seventh grader, and Jeremiah Stevens. They ended up getting the forfeit, and that's technically an Aaron Will's third event, and that's, I think you'll, usually we do three events or in the letter. So that was a good job. We got a win on that one, and like I told the bus coordinator, I said, we're undefeated when we take the big bus. So hopefully we can keep taking that. We took on McCray this week, too. Ended up beating them 4-3. It was a good matchup overall. It was, Gunnar Olsen won one single, 6-3, 6-1. Did a nice job against Matt Wadsworth. Really, really coming along, really being a strong player. Mitchell Myers, he ended up losing 6-1, 6-1. He's really struggled at the three singles, but he struggled the other day. And at practice, he's gotten a lot better. He's just got to trust his strokes and not overthink. And that's a big, and singles is a big mindset. It's a big, you're kind of all there isolated on an island. And, you got to really deal with a lot of mental game is a big factor. Brody Boston lost at four singles, 6-3, 6-1. Again, Brody started out strong, but then kind of, again, it's a mental game. You got to be mentally tough. At one doubles, moving on here, Tony Reap and Brody Nelson, they said they're hot and cold. They ended up losing to a very athletic senior-led doubles team, 6-2, 6-0. And then their second doubles, Huffing Easy, Thomas Felton, they won in straight sets, and so did Jeremiah and Gannon Andrews at third doubles. So it was 3-3 and it came down to Luke Stock, and Luke, ended up, he was down 5-2 in that first set, ended up coming back and winning that in a tiebreaker, winning that with 7-3 in the tiebreaker. And then again, was trailing that second set 3-0, ended up winning that second set 6-4 and sealing the win for us. So that was a nice job for Luke. And a lot of times he's played one singles, and he's kind of getting thrown to the wolves all season. But did a really, really good job of, stepping up. He's one of our captains. And I just, remember doing one of the changeover. After he broke the set, he was down 3-0. I said, you're mentally tough. And he just had a grin on his face and took a drink of that red Gatorade. And, boy, he played really well. Did a nice job there. So two wins in the week and out of two matches, that's nothing better. You can't ask for anything better than that.
Awesome.
But clicking at the right time, and hopefully we can continue on.
Awesome. Yeah, some good wins there for you, Austin.
Yes, absolutely.
Kids excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Yep, mm-hmm.
All right. What's up next, then, for the tennis team?
Yeah, so right now we're going to start off with our section team playoffs is on Monday. We head to Granite Falls. Weather, I don't know what they're going to have. It looks like rain on the forecast Monday all week. It looks like we'll see if things can change. But we're supposed to take on them. We end up losing to them 4-3 in the regular season. And that we could flip a couple games here or there, but a couple games could flip on us too. So we got to be prepared. Just take it head on. I think we ended up won in third doubles and first doubles. Lost at second doubles, then we won at third singles, which Myers did. So a lot of really close matchups against the Wyoming Sting. And then the winner of that on Monday will be in the semifinals. They'll be played all in Redwood. So that's the 4-5 matchups. The winner will take on Montevideo, the number one seed in Redwood.
Okay.
And then on Thursday, that's when our individual tournament will start. We haven't set a lineup yet. We're going to,
Right.
Monday, we're going to finalize that. But, that's going to be all in Redwood, too. So it's crazy how fast the season goes by. We're just finally getting outdoors, just starting to slowly hit our groove. And then it's like, well, it's do or die, and it's win or go home. So
yeah, isn't that something?
Hopefully we'll be on that win side. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Austin, for the report on the boys' tennis team this morning. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Austin Ireland, talking about the Dawson Boyd La Caparo Valley boys tennis team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
It's a time of new beginnings and a time to reflect back to those great times you've experienced with friends and family during the past 18 years. It's graduation time. Greg Thole at Greg Thole Electric in Madison sends out best wishes to all the graduates at our area high schools. Some of the graduates at La Caparo Valley High School this year include Dylan Geiser, Isabel Gertis, Elias Heglin, Isabella Jelly, Caitlin Kittleson, and Brooke Knapp. Best of luck to you and your classmates from Greg Thole at Greg Thole Electric in Madison. Milan presents the 18th annual A Taste of Sitting to My on Saturday, May 18th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Kvitside Smorgas-Tea at Kvitside Church will be from 10 to 1. Musicians from noon to 2. The Ufda Parade at 2 o'clock. Traditional Norwegian arts, crafts, and food will be available. There will be kids' activities. Downtown Milan, visit the Milan Village Art School, Aarhus Museum, Billy Maple Trees, and vendors. Again, that's Saturday, May 18th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. A Taste of Sittin' to My in Milan, Minnesota, and you're invited. Major support for the City of Milan, Milan Community Foundation, Milan American Legion Post 359, Federated Telephone Company, the Milan Lions Club, and Prairie Sun Bank. Congratulations, graduates, from everyone at Cargill in Madison. Now that you've been educated, sophisticated, matriculated, articulated, and graduated, consider yourself congratulated. Cargill in Madison wishing all the best to graduates in the future. Some of the graduates at La Caparo Valley High School this year include Abigail Alonzo, August Amlin, Gavin Ashman, Aspen Bendel, Kale Benson, and Sutton Burvin. Best of luck in the future from Cargill in Madison.
Johnson Memorial Health Services congratulates the following Dawson Boyd graduates: Paige Conover, Jack Erdman, Allison Essling, Quentin Evenson, Tyler Goddess, Ayanna Hasted, Joshua Horst, Rachel Jorgens, and Taylan Jorgensen. Congratulations on your outstanding achievement. Looking back, it was all worth it. Wishing you all the best in the career you have chosen. Congratulations, Dawson Boyd graduates, from Johnson Memorial Health Services.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. Once again, in the spring, we're 30, and we've already had both golf and tennis, boys tennis. So up next, next batter for the Coaches Show is Darby Biergun. Wow, from last week till now, you had five ball games. Talking first about that annual invitational, we'll call it, with Border West and Yellow Medicine East. So fire away there, Darby.
Yeah, we got a lot of games to talk to. The weather finally cooperated with us, so bear with me here, and hopefully I got enough wind in me. Yeah, we had Border West and Yellow Medicine East come to town last Saturday, and we started off with Border West at 11 in the morning. Border West is a good team, a single-A team from up north, and they'll compete and make a run for the state, I think, with the arms that they have and the good bats that they have. And we ended up losing that game 7-3. I do know that Border West threw probably one of their top guys against us, so that was really good. We wanted to see that to get ready for playoffs coming up. Hitting for us that day, Dylan Keimig was 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs. He had a double. Caden Molden was 2-for-3 with a run and 1 RBI. It was a home run that he hit to right center. It was quite a shot that he had there. And Braden Danzizen was 1-for-2 with a walk. So Peyton Rademacher also had a run, and Brant Schomer, who's been jumping in for us for courtesy running and pinch running at times, had a run for us. So it's nice to bring some of those younger guys with some speed and get them some experience up at the varsity level. So that was the non-conference game. That day, Border West then turned around and played YME, and they it was a long game, so we were sitting around for quite a bit, and I was a little worried about us coming out a little dead and stuff like that. But we were able to beat YME the next game, the last game of the day, which was a conference game because our regular conference game during the year had been postponed, and we just decided to make it up on this day. And we ended up 10 running them in 5. We won 11-1. So our bats were alive that game, and it was fun, and the guys were aggressive. So we talked about after both games, maybe we're an afternoon game kind of team rather than a morning team. So, but we need to learn that with playoffs coming up, that we need to be well rested and ready to go in the morning no matter what time we play. So hitting for that game, I should go back to the Border West game for our pitching too. But hitting for that game, Dylan Keimig was 4-for-4 with 3 runs and an RBI. He had a double in that game. Dylan Geiser was 1-for-3 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs. Caden Molden was 1-for-3 with a run and 2 RBIs. He also had a double. Geiser's was also a double. And Caden Mortensen was 1-for-3 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs. Davis Patzer had a run for us. Landon Weber had a big day for us. He was 3-for-3 with 1 run and an RBI, and he had a double in there. So the bats were alive in that game, and seeing a guy go 4-for-4 and Webb going 3-for-3, that's a big day. I mean, baseball's tough. A round ball coming at a stick, and you have to swing and hit it, and going 4-for-4 and 3-for-3 is quite something. Yeah. So we were pretty excited about that. Now, we had quite a few stolen bases in that game too, which we wanted to be aggressive and take advantage of situations we had there. Starting on the mound for us for that game was Davis Patzer. It'd been a while since he'd seen the mound. He gave up 4 hits, 1 run. It was unearned. He walked 5, and he struck out 5. So it was good to see Dave back on the mound. We need to get all our pitchers as many innings as we can moving into playoffs so we know what arms we've got and which arms are ready to rock when it's time. Dylan Geiser finished that for us. He threw 2/3 of an inning. No hits, no runs, no errors, no walks, and no strikeouts. So I think maybe Dylan's pitch count was under 10 or under 15 or something like that. So it was good for him to come in and just shut the door. Going back to the Border West game, we started Matt Arn on the mound, who is a dual sport athlete. So Matt's our only lefty on the mound. He threw 4 innings, gave up 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, walked 3, struck out 5. But Matt's got really good stuff, and we were excited to see him back on the mound and know that we can use him in relief or in starting and stuff like that. He's just a different look. He's kind of that quirky lefty. He's got a little bit different of a delivery. And, you know, it was good for him, too, because Border West in that game were going straight steals on movement, and we learned a few things for his pickoff movement and stuff like that. So good good teaching points and stuff like that. Baxter Colliff also saw an inning and a third on the mound, and we got Dylan Kimig for the first time on the mound. He pitched an inning and two thirds. So Dylan wanted to get back on the mound. He hadn't pitched all year. He just wondering how his arm would feel after throwing a few innings. So it was a great spot to get those guys back on the mound and seeing some innings for them too.
Nice thing about baseball is each team won a game, and Yellow Medicine East was behind, I think, 9-3, and they came back and won that game.
Yeah, that was...
So you never know.
Right, yep, and that is, you know, we talk about that quite often for ourselves, too, is the nice thing about baseball is you don't have a clock. You go until all outs are recorded, so, and that's exactly what happened to YME, and they battled, and that was, I was a little worried because that gave them a little momentum coming into our game, but we were able to jump on it right away and shut the door, so...
Then three this past week.
Yeah, then we had Pipestone came to town on Tuesday, which is a non-conference game, and they're a 2A school, so a little bit bigger school, and they see some good competition. I know earlier in the year they beat Laverne, who is one of the top teams in the state, so I knew that they were going to give us a battle, and that they did. We struggled to hit the ball to begin with. They threw their number one against us. He had good stuff, different movement, kind of a quirky right-hander with an angle with his arm, and he had a couple different curveballs that he was throwing. His control wasn't there, so our guys were moving in the box a little bit, thinking they were going to get hit. Brain Dan Zeezan took one to the face. Ooh. So first thing when I went to check on him, he said, all my teeth are here. So he got up and got some ice on it. And Brain's healing nicely. He's going to have a nice scar there, but he's healing nicely. So we ended up winning the game, 5-1 to the end of the game. So in the game, we'll kind of talk about what happened at the end, but Dylan Kimig was 1-for-3 with a run and an RBI. Dylan Geiser had a sacrifice later in the game that helped us out quite a bit to move some guys up. Caden Mortensen was 1-for-4, and that was a big hit with two RBIs at the end. Davis Patzer scored, Cale Benson scored, and Peyton Rademacher scored. So we were down 2-0, and we were able to get two runs in the bottom of five without a hit. So we kind of did some sacrificing, and we did some stolen bases, and some pass balls got us in there. So we still hadn't had a hit through the fifth. And in the sixth, we got Brant Schomer in. He was, as a courtesy runner, moved up to second, I believe, on a sacrifice, and we had two outs. And Cale Benson was up, a lefty, so I was a little nervous, but Pipestone was doing not for Cale being at the plate, but nervous in the fact what I asked Brant to do was, without giving him a sign, he looked at me and I just pointed over at third. I wanted him to steal third, and he did that, so I was glad Brant was able to pick up on my signals there without giving a sign, and he stole third, and the catcher threw it out to left field, and he popped up and took home, and we went up 3-2. Then they came back and on a full count hit a two-run home run to right field, an opposite field home run, which is quite something to do in a full count. But we didn't die. We came back and Peyton Rademacher led off the bottom of seven with a hit by pitch. Dylan Kimig followed it up with a walk, I believe it was, and then Dylan Geiser sacrificed those two over. So we had second and third with one out, and our number three hitter, Caden Molden, coming up. And in high school baseball, you can automatically walk a guy without pitching to him. So that's what they did with Caden. It's sometimes, depending on the situation, sign of respect, you know, and sometimes situationally to get forces everywhere. So I'm not sure what Pipestone was thinking. Didn't really matter because that run wasn't important to them at the time. And that brought up Caden Mortensen, who had a C&I single between first and second base. As Coach Benson says, hit them where they ain't. And then Mort had an outside pitch. And that's what we preach all the time is hit the ball where it takes you. If it's an outside pitch, you got to wait back. And that's what Mort did. And with Kimig's speed on second, he was able to wheel around and score. And we had a winning run to win the game of bottom of seven. Yep. So exciting game for a non-conference and beating a 2A school.
Right.
Thursday, I should go back to pitching again. I keep forgetting this. Starting on the mound for us that game was Caden Mortensen. It was senior night for us, and he hadn't had a start, so we started him, and he threw really well. He threw five innings, gave up three hits, two runs. They were not earned, no walks, and he struck out four. So Mort's been real solid just mentally and everything, whether it's in the field, at the plate, or on the mound, and really, really enjoyed watching him work. He's fast, and he pumps the zone with strikes. Brock Biernield came in. He threw an inning, gave up two hits, two runs. They were earned. He had one strikeout. And Dylan Geiser came in one inning, no hits, no runs, no errors, no walks, and he struck out three. So we wanted to keep our pitch count down for Brock and Dylan. That's what we were going by because we had to come back on Thursday and play KMS for a big conference game. And that game ended out not in favor of the Eagles. We lost 6-1. We saw probably one of the better pitchers in the conference, and Jared Cortez, and he held our bats pretty quiet. He struck out 13 throughout the game, and maybe hit three guys, but he didn't walk anybody. So we struggled to get timely hits where we needed them, and we didn't help ourselves defensively. We had five errors in the game, and we talked about this afterwards. I was not happy. Our assistant coaches weren't happy, and I don't think the players were happy. So we talked about that after the game. Is when we're coaching and we're doing stuff in practice, now we actually have to follow through with the stuff that we're doing and what we're preaching and stuff like that. So luckily, the next day we came back and played much better, and we'll talk about that here shortly. But on the day, Dylan Keimig was 2-for-4. Dylan Geiser was 1-for-3. TJ Mitchell was 1-for-3. And Landon Weber had a run for us. So that was our lone run, was Weber's run. Dylan Geiser sat on the mound for us, kind of had some tough luck situations there. He threw 5 innings, 6 hits, 6 runs, 3 earned, didn't walk anybody, and he had 5 strikeouts. And Brock Bjerknield came in and closed it for us. He went 2 innings, gave up 1 hit, no runs, no earned, no walks, and 1 strikeout. So we didn't walk anybody, which was our pitchers did their job. It's just with errors behind them, ends up throwing a few more pitches than what they have to and probably tuckering out a little bit quicker than what they should. So as we said, we talked about it afterwards. It's something I learned at a young age from my parents is forgive but don't forget. And well, it might maybe lead into maybe how I was as a kid. I maybe shouldn't say that. But you forgive what just happened, but don't forget it. We need to learn from it. And that's what we did against the next game. We went up to Morris yesterday, Friday night. And although we came out losing 12-2, I told the guys afterwards, I can live with a loss like that because we didn't have any errors. We threw the ball well. We threw strikes. We played ball the right way. We just faced a really good team in Morris. They could hit the ball. It's the best hitting team I've seen so far this year. So ended up losing 12-2 in that game, but we came around. We had 7 hits in the game. So it's not that our bats were silent or anything like that. It's just Morris is a good team, and we just didn't put enough timely hits again in the situation when we had runners on. So last night, Dylan Keimig scored a run. He had 2 walks. Dylan Geiser was 1-for-2 with a run. Cade Mortensen was 1-for-2. It was a double. He also walked. Davis Patzer was 2-for-3 with a stolen base and an RBI. Caden Molden was 1-for-1. Landon Weber was 1-for-3 with a double. Brock Bjerknield was 1-for-3. And I'm trying to find my other. I thought I had one more RBI in there, but that's all I got there. So we had 7. We had runners in scoring position, stuff like that. We tried a suicide, didn't work out. Again, it's a non-conference game, so we were able to get some guys some at-bats that hadn't seen some at-bats for a while. We started Matt Arndt on the mound again. He threw strikes, nothing wrong with that. Just Morris was a good hitting team. So Davis came in relief. Davis Patzer threw well again. I got to find my stats here. He threw 2 innings, 3 strikeouts. He gave up 2 hits and a few runs there. And then we brought in Caden Mortensen. He threw 2 2/3, had 2 strikeouts, 2 walks, gave up 3 hits, 1 run, and 1 earn. And then we got Baxter Culloff on the mound again for the final inning before they 10-runned us. So just a good hitting team, and I'm happy with the way we played, even though it was a 12-2 loss. I know that's hard for a lot of people to understand, but if you're playing the game right and the team beats you the right way, it's nothing to hang your head about. And come back, and we've got a big game on Tuesday. So we'll just keep the momentum going there and move on from that.
Well, like everybody else that we've talked to, regular season is either over or will be over. And in your case, it will be over after Tuesday, and that's a big conference game.
Yeah, it's a really big game. And actually, we were talking with the KMS coaches before the game, is how fun is this? There was 4 teams vying for the conference championship between KMS, Dawson, Mineota, and La Caparo. Just what a fun end of the season, and it seemed like we all got scheduled to play each other at the end. So yeah. I know Mineota plays Dawson on Monday, and then we turn around and play Mineota on Tuesday, and I believe Dawson plays KMS on Tuesday.
Right.
So
yeah.
We don't know where everything sits as of right now. So
right.
What we kind of see happening right now for the section is a little bit different. It looks like Dawson and La Caparo, us, will be 1 and 2, depending on how the coaches' vote goes for seeding. So it looks like we'll have a home game, which is great for that first round of playoffs on the 25th.
Yeah, Mineota goes south, and KMS goes to double A,
right,
to
yep.
the north.
So, yep, Mineota goes in the south half of our section, 3A, and KMS goes to 3AA, which is maybe one of the toughest sections in the state. Yeah. So,
okay. Well, thanks for the report. You did a good job with five games, Darby, to get done. And we'll hear all about that Tuesday and then find out about the section seating. And we will have a home game next Saturday.
Sounds good. Appreciate the coverage and all everything you guys do for us.
Okay. We'll take this break and we'll come back with a report from softball team after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Congratulations to the graduating class from Madison Bottling, Madison, Minnesota. Graduation is the perfect time to look ahead, offer encouragement, and express optimism and excitement about the graduate's future. You don't even need a crystal ball to do it. Some of the graduates at Lac Parle Valley High School this year include Thomas Mitchell, Caden Molden, Caden Mortensen, Keaton Peters, Peyton Rademacher, Jonathan Redepenning, and Kaylee Rios. Best of luck to you and your fellow graduates from Madison Bottling, Madison, Minnesota.
When you grow corn or soybeans for a living, you're always looking for the latest advances to help your fields be more profitable. That's why it's time to turn to Channel. When you plant elite Channel seed products, you also get the services of your very own Channel seedsman. You see, your seedsmen work with you year-round to make the most of your operation. For customized service, expert advice, and elite seed products, your local Channel seedsmen are Tron Tossel and Dylan Erickson of Tron Tossel Seeds. Contact Tron at 320-297-0403. Or Dylan at 320-269-1250. That's Tron Tossel Seeds, your local Channel Seeds dealer.
Heather Floral Nursery in Madison, Dawson, and Montevideo congratulates the following La Caparo Valley graduates: J1 Emmis, Sarah Emmis, Echo Foster, Dylan Geiser, Isabel Gertis, Eli Haglin, Caitlin Kittleson, Carly Kranz, Kaya Kranz. Set out each day believing in your dreams. Know without a doubt that you were made for great things. Congratulations, La Caparo Valley graduates, from Heather Floral and Nursery. Mid-Minnesota Lumber in Appleton congratulates the following La Caparo Valley graduates: Carly Kranz, Kaya Kranz, Trenton Larson, Severus Lindgren, Ashlyn Mangle, Reese McCoy, Thomas Mitchell, Caden Molden, and Caden Mortensen. Your future is bright. Congratulations from Mid-Minnesota Lumber in Appleton.
Back here now at the Coach's Show, talking boys and girls track with John Sherb. And I guess the only thing you had on the schedule, and the big thing, was the conference track meet.
Yeah, the conference meet, that was at Lakeview on Thursday. You know, it was going in, we kind of thought, you know, the boys, I thought we were in the thick of things. I thought we had a step above everybody else just a little bit. But, again, things can happen. You got to take care of business. So you just can't guarantee. I know a couple of kids, we can win another one. And I said, we haven't done that yet. We got to take care of the first step is doing it. Then once everything's totaled up, we've got it, then we can say we get our second one. But that's looking the mentality. And the girls' side, we just knew the top two were pretty salty. You aren't going to touch the McCray and the Camby. They just got so much depth and so many upper horses on the front side. You know, we're good. It's just we don't have that big event. I don't know what event they're weak in. You know, and that's we have events where we have some holes that we just aren't there. So, you know, we try to rearrange our teams a little bit, see where we can score and score as much. And we really had some really great performances. When I start talking about the results, you're going to hear a lot of PRs. because the weather, we've been fighting crappy weather all season to have a really, really nice day Thursday with the sun. Yeah, it may have been a little on the warmer side than we're used to, but no wind at all, hardly at all, and the conditions were really, really ripe for some conditions. So, and that's what you expect is, you know, you have, and like I said, our times and our distances really, really were amazing to watch. And like I said, our kids really stepped up, and that's what you can ask. And because going in, you pencil where you think things are going to work, and we had some kids that I didn't expect us to get what we did, and then you get some kids we didn't do as well. But I thought our kids really, really ran well, and I thought the coaches did a really good job of kind of working them through some tough spots because we had to make some quick changes. Cause we had, and I'll get to that, realize we had one girl came down with a blister after 100, so we had to have a girl jump in there with no handoff practice. The good thing, she has ran that leg for us because she's been sick, so we were just only going to run her one race and save her for the following just to get her healthy. But then she turned around, she had to get put back in it because the other girl got hurt. So it's like you're fighting that whole thing of trying to balance it. So, but starting off, 100-meter dash, Tygan Allpress, he was 8th overall, 11.80, and that was a personal record for him. Gabe Lowry was 20th at 13.1, and Landon Hurston was 23rd at 13.90. All three of them ran personal records. So you're already starting off in your first event that way you're going. 200-meter dash. 200-meter dash is kind of the one that we were kind of thinking that could really do some damage. You know, we put Brayson in there. Brayson is a very good athlete, and that 200 was fun. Brayson finished 4th, and it was just a wall. Ortonville kid, Tracy Milroy kid, just, and I can't remember who the other one was. It just was just a fast 200. You watch those guys go at each other. It was really fun watching that. Brayson was 4th at the time of 23.50. That's a PR for him. Gunnar Olsen was 26.20, and he was 12th of the PR. Tanner Callis was 5th in the 400, 55.10. 800-meter on Tayden Clark just blew my mind. Going in, you know, we split up a lot of our distance kids to see where he had. I mean, and he was seated like 5th or 6th in the 800 coming in. And we just, you know, he looked really good in the open in the 4x8 for us, and he really looked sharp. And so let's just see what we can do. And he sat back in the race, and then with 100 meters to go, he's still in 3rd place. Last 50, he caught 2 of them, caught the last guy with the last 5 yards before the finish to win it. And he went huge. He cut off, I want to say, let's see, he went 2:04, and that is 8 seconds faster he's ever ran 800 for us. So that was a huge, huge lift for us to see him go 2:04, 4:00. Cade Solom was 7th at 2:28 flat, and that was a PR for him. Gavin Carl in the mile was 2nd, got a great race. Him, you know, him and the Ortonville kid just kind of, we've been working off each other and trying to figure out, you know, different strengths and everything else. And Gavin put together a very quality run on that and really, really ran smart. And he ran 4:43.50, and that's a personal record for him. He also came back in the 2 mile. Him and the kid from Ortonville, they just kind of just worked off each other and pushed the pace, and it went out. Gavin may have got a little hot, but the pace set up pretty nicely and just worked into it. And Gavin went 10:30.30, and it's a personal record for him. We threw Matthew Bothan. Matthew Bothan is a little seventh grader for us. He ran cross for us, and he's been kind of doing everything for us in junior high. He'd run the 100-meter dash. Then he'd run the 800. Then he'd run the mile. Then he'd run the 200. Then he just kind of just a trick of all trades, just kind of threw him and said, well, hey, let's – I had first brought him with because I wasn't sure if I was going to put him in the 4x8 or not. And because we really had – our fourth man really wasn't where it should be. And I just was kind of thinking he and Hans, so let's go with it. Then all of a sudden must have been about 10 o'clock the day of the meal this way with it. And so – I talked to Matt. I said, let's go to 2 mile. Never ran a 2 mile for us and crossed. Didn't. I said, you run for 6. That's all you do. Just sit back and just patiently work up and go through it. He looks at me, well, can I be higher? I said, yeah, you can, but let's just go for 6 because he doesn't have the big training to, you know, to run it. So he just got in the race and watched it. He just slowly, he was in 8th. Then he moved up to 7th, and he could see 6th, and must have been with about a lap to go. He caught 6th and actually pulled away from 6th, so he was in 6th place. Prinsburg kid saw him and started going after him. And those two last 100 meters of the race, neck and neck, wide open sprinting, and turn, and then he ended up nipping him by, I think it was a tenth of a second to get 6th. So you kind of like those things. You just love the way those things work into place. And to have that, I know I was on YouTube. They had the live stream of it, and we went back and watched that finish of it. Just funny, just watching him go at and just changing gears. He didn't back down. The kid pulled up past him. He dropped another gear to go with him. Then they were sort of side by side. It's just like, and that was fun. And that's, like you said, you like that competition of going at it. So he ended up finishing sixth with a time of 12:08. So again, a really, really good time for some little seventh grader just to jump in and do that. And that's a point for us or a team. 110 hurdles. James Weber looked really, really good in the hurdles. Was sound there. He went 15.40, and that is a personal record for him. And that changed, you know, where do you go with him for subsection sections? Because, you know, that's kind of his lesser of his two. But looked really, really good, and that was good to see. Riley Borman was sixth at 19.70. That was a personal record for him. James also won the 300 hurdles, 41.30. Now we're in that echelon we talked about last time, about breaking 42. He's not far from getting the 40s, and so that's marquee race there. And he wasn't as clean as he could have been, so it's there. Just got to put it together. Joseph Felton was 8th, 48.20. And then Riley Borman was 10th at 50.3, and all three of those ran personal records. 4x1, and that was David Torgerson to Mason Bothan to Noah Meyer to Tygan Allpress. Thought that was probably the cleanest we've ran on that one. The handoffs went actually pretty good through that. Really was impressive was we getting that anchor. Noah to Tygan was really, really smooth. You really never saw those two change, had to change gears. They hit Tygan at the high of his speed and hung on, and he had a great lead off down the line. That was good to see. So that was, again, we finished fifth in that. 4x2, Tygan Allpress and Mason Bothan, Dave Torgerson. And then we had to put Gunnar Olsen in the anchor, the 4x2, just because Caden Kessler had been trying to bring him back with a hamstring injury, and he tried to accelerate taking the stick, and it just he didn't feel comfortable. So he said, okay, well, so we had to grab Gunner out of the shot put area and say, hey, you got to take 4x2 handoffs. And so I was like, okay. So I was like, everything else went good. Gunner's, we had some issue. He stopped right at the end of the line to hang on so he didn't get disqualified. But again, that's part of when you adapt. Those kids adapted really well, and to finish at a 142 flat with a handoff, as I call it, a dead handoff. You're standing still to get the stick from one hand to the other. 4x4, we had to change it up a little bit because Gavin was doing mile and 2 mile, and we didn't want to have to run him in the 2 mile and then come back 4x4. So I pulled Mason Bothan out of the 200 just because wanted fresh legs, because you never know if we needed another point here or there in that 4x4. We needed to be strong. I didn't want to have I wanted Gavin to focus on mentally racing hard in a mile and 2. Just a fun race to change it up. And we ended up finishing fourth. We ran our season best at 338.40. And I know in the paper it was listed as wrong, but again, they had Gavin there, but we had to change it. But we changed the lineup. We went Tanner Callis as our leadoff. So went Tanner to Tayden Clark, to Mason Bothan and James Weber. And James Weber, he hasn't taken a stick probably in 2 years in the 4x4. We had him at 51 flat, or just a hair under 50, and that's a great closing gap for us. So that was really great to see us to run that fast with that bunch and just to see what they can do. 4x8 went off big time to start the meet off for us. Coming at 9:35, we go 28 seconds faster. Wow. And all legs looked really, really good. They looked really sound. Probably the biggest one was Joseph Felton. Joseph has been struggling to really get his mark to kind of catch that. I don't know if I made him mad or what was threatening that I needed to pull him out, put Matt in there or what. He dropped 17 seconds down. He broke 220, and he looked like a man possessed out there, consistent, and that's what we needed to have, and that was kind of our big legs there. So they went 9:07.80 to win it, and I think we were seated third or fourth coming in, so you got like that. And that was Tayden Clark to Cade Solem to Joseph Felton to Tanner Callis. Shot put, Noah Meyer was sixth. That's a personal best for him. He threw it 39 feet 10 inches. Gunnar Olsen was ninth at 36 feet 4.5 inches. That's a personal best. And then Anthony Tafoya was 13th at 34.5. Discus, Gunnar Olsen was seventh at 106.5, and that's a personal record for him. Noah Meyer was 16th at 79 feet 3 inches. Anthony Tafoya was 17th at 75 feet, 2.5 inches. High jump was really, really great. Brayson had a huge day. And you really got to like the way he stepped. He cleared 6'6", which ties our school record, with Jason Walters, I believe it is, back from the early 90s. So he went to 6'8", tried for 6'8", didn't clear it, but 6'6" is really sound, and that's puts him in that upper echelon in the state in Class A. So that was really good to see him step off of that. Then Eli Hagelin was 3rd at 6', and Mason Botham was 9th at 5'4". Brayson won the long jump, 20 feet, 10 inches. Eli Hagelin was 2nd, 19 feet, 6 inches. And that's a great finish to go 1-2 because I think Eli was seated about 4th coming in the long jump to jump into 2nd. That was really nice. Tygan Allpress hit a big one. His PR for him. He just missed placing. He was 7th at 18 feet 7 inches. Triple jump. Brayson Boyk went again, had another big event again. He won the triple, and I believe it was his first jump in the triple. Went 44 feet 4.5 inches. And that is, I believe, a half inch off the school record from Brett Dale, who did that back in, that would have been 2010. So, and then he only jumped one more time, and Brayson didn't jump anymore in triple. So that just shows where he is now. Warm weather, he's starting to like this. The legs are starting to go big, and he looked really good. So he is setting himself up for a really, really nice here last month of the season. And then Eli Hagelin was 3rd at 40 feet 11. And then Beckett Anderson, young eighth grade boy, just came out this year. He ended up making finals, which I think is huge because he didn't jump in spikes. He jumped in running shoes, everybody else in spikes. And he's just a little eighth grader, just looking and just smiling and going. And he finished 8th, and he was 34 feet 10.5 inches. So it was really good on the boys. We got a lot of points. I'll get the points. We get the girls. Girls, we moved a lot of kids around trying to see where we're at. Bailey Botham was 13th in the 100. She's been sick. She's sat out for a week with no running at all and jumped back in that 100 to go. So she was 14.30. Atiana Specht was 15th at 14.60, and that was a PR for her. Hannah Oy was 17th at 14.8. 200-meter dash, Morgan Anderson broke the 30-second barrier. That's a big PR for her. She went 29.80. And I know there was a question on the 200. They got Marn Woolley at 13th and Macy. I don't know if that's a flip. But they got Marn at 30.70. She was 13th, and Macy Courier was 20th at 31.40. 400-meter dash, Addie Tufto was 4th, 103.80. Micaiah Poost was 7th at 104.40. Julissa Ramos was 10th at 107.90. And that's a personal best for Julissa. 800-meter run, Bryn Glege was 5th, 232.30. Personal record, Taylor Wood was 7th at 240.60. And our young seventh grader, Talia Hersham, I always say it wrong. She was 10th, and she went 252.30, and that is her first time breaking 3 minutes, a big time. I think she was 58 coming in, so she dropped 5 seconds off her time. And that was really good to see her go on that. Chloe Glege was 4th in the mile, 549.80. Harper Grunholz was 9th at 633.30. 3,200-meter run, Chloe Glege was 9th. At 1306.30, and that was a personal record for her. Brooklyn Sterrerud was 8th at 1449. 100-meter hurdles, Ayanna Hasted was 2nd with a 17.90. Alexis Olson was 6th at 18.60. Ella Stock was 20th, and the last two, Olson and Stock, were PRs. 300 hurdles, Alexis Olson was 7th, 55.70. Ella Stock was 101. And 0.0, and then Cameron Olson, an eighth grader, jumped at 102.00 in the bolt, and those all three were personal records. 4x1s, and that's when we had a change. Atiana had got bad blister on her heel, a lot of really pain, so we had to yank her out and put Bailey back in. Bailey filled in, didn't have a bad handoff, and that was good to see. But that was Ayanna to Bailey Botham, Sadie Hacker to Hannah Oy. They went 55.90, and that is our season best there. 4x2. Sadie Hacker to Sadie Rosendahl, Morgan Hansen, Addie Tufto. If we can clean off, we had really one really tough handoff in there. If we can clean that handoff now, we're going to probably push 56, and we ran a season best of 157.20. And I thought Morgan Hansen, we put her in the anchor spot. Morgan handled the anchor very well for us, and that was good to see. The funnest race probably of all is always the 4x4. 4x4 girls turned into a big-time meet. The nice thing is we were never expected to be in it. It was basically going to be Canby and McCray fighting it out, and both were going to go for the conference record. Well, our girls decided to participate and go at them. And we were either first or second the whole race, in with those three. And we really and we cut off 17 seconds off our personal best of the season. And we just really put together. We ran, and it was fun. The girls were disappointed finishing third. I'm like going, you ran really, really fast. And that's what you got to love to see. We went 412.90. I think the conference record was 412.90 also. So three teams broke the conference record. And that was Micaiah Boost, Bryn Glege, Taylor Wood, and Addie Tufto. 4x8s, they finished with their personal best of the season by 12 seconds. That was Bryn Glege, Taylor Wood, Micaiah Boost, and Abigail Alonzo. Shot put, Haley Anderson really closed out her conference career as a senior. She won both the shot and disc. She won the shot, 34 feet 6 inches. That's a personal best for her. Isabel Long-Henry was 8th at 28 feet 7. Discus, Haley came back. And the disc won the disc at 100 feet 4 inches. And Isabel Long-Henry was 10th at 72 feet 6 and a half inches. High jump, Ion Hasted had a great high jump. 5'1", looked very, very good. And that's a personal record for her. And so that was to win it. Sadie Rosendahl stepped up and had a personal record. She went 4'7". And then Reese McCoy was 9th at 4'3 with a personal record. Long jump, Abby Alonzo, she finished 9th at 13 feet 9 and a half inches. And that's, you know, she made finals, which was really neat to see her get in that because she's really never made finals before. And that's just way a step up for her. Alexis and Reese McCoy was 10th at 13 feet. Triple jump, Alexis Olson was 9th at 30 feet. And that's a personal record for her. That's the first time I think she's even broke 30. Reese McCoy was 29.6 at 10th. And Morgan Anderson was 28th at 3.5 inches. So, you know, the kids really, again, competed well. Scoring-wise, team, boys ended up winning with 122 points. Central Minnesota Christian was second at 96. McCray was third at 91. Lakeview was fourth at 71. So the guys, you know, Joel and I, we always pencil things out. And Joel looked at me. He goes, well, what do you got for points? I said, I think we can score 120. I was only off by a couple of points. But he goes, you had a good call. And we made some good, really good calls of some changes. So we really put ourselves in some nice spots of putting kids in. And Joel looks at us. You have an idea, always a guy goes. I said, you get lucky. I said, I made some right calls I thought were right, and you know, they'll blow up in your face too, but we made some very good calls. Girls end up finishing third. McCray knocked out Canby. I want to say it's the first time Canby's lost a conference on the girls' side, probably 10 years. They've had a string going, and they've just been so deep, but McCray is so talented with what they got. They won at 166.33. Canby was second at 149.83, and we were in third at 73, and Central Minnesota Christian was fourth. 69.5. So you gotta like the way the kids really competed. The level, the, you know, handling themselves, because we were a lot of events not seated very high because we hadn't had good marks all year to step up and score that well on all levels. You really gotta like the way the kids handled it. The support one another, we gave each other. Everybody was stepping up, and that's what you like to see. Mm-hmm. And really lucky.
Good, good. So that completes your regular season.
Yes.
So all there is a subsection, the section, and
state. That's the one with state. Yep, knock on wood now for state. So subsection's next Thursday. That's in Monty. I can't remember. I think it's a 4:30 start. I can't remember. I haven't looked at it that far. I'm still trying to take care of one step at a time. I'll look at that for on Sunday. But that'll be subs. What they'll do is they'll qualify. We got to remember what we got for numbers. Top, there's three subs, so they're going to take. They're going to get three at-large and four, so it's going to be top four automatics. Then they're going to take a performance list. So we've got to look at where we're going to go with what events. We're going to change some things around to give them a chance. We want to try to qualify as many relay teams as we can into the section. So that's kind of what we're looking at there. We're going to do well. Scoring-wise, the boys, we're not going to score as well because we're not going to worry about that. We're just going to get as many kids as we can in. So we'll take some of our depth away. But girls, same thing, we're going to qualify. So, you know, for the top four, because that will qualify for sections. It'll be in Laverne the following Thursday. So see what we can do, and see, hopefully these kids are ready for another step up. That's all you can ask.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on track. We will now hear the softball report after this.
In all things that you undertake, may you meet with real success, and may the years that are ahead be rich in happiness. This graduation salute comes to you from Myers Electric and Infrared. Congratulations to the following La Caprile Valley graduates: Ashlyn Mangle, Reese McCoy, Thomas Mitchell, Caden Molden, Caden Mortensen, Keaton Peters, Peyton Rademacher, Jonathan Redepenny, and Callie Rios. New beginnings, new chapter, new endeavors, and new challenges. Congratulations from Myers Electric and Infrared. Head to your local Toro dealer, Ducks Service and Marine in Kami, during the Toro Spring Sales Event for incredible savings on select Toro zero-turn mowers. Get up to $500 off on select Time Cutter and Titan Zero Turns, or choose one of the amazing financing offers. When it comes to taking care of your acreage, there's nothing like the MyRide suspension that lets you float above the bumps and rough terrain. Visit Doug's Service and Marine in Canby today for the best sales, service, and expert advice around. Toro, count on it. The Appleton Chamber of Commerce congratulates the La Caprile Valley graduating class. Your future is bright. For all the times of late night studies, lack of sleep, and sacrifice of enjoyment, your reward is here. Congratulations to you, the graduating class.
Back to the Coaches Show on this Saturday morning, and it's time to talk some softball, La Caprile Valley softball, and we've got Coach Scott Swatsky with us. Scott, how's it going?
It's going well.
And, getting a few games in there finally between the rainstorms?
Yeah, it's been a busy week. We had to do it early, record early last week, because we had a tournament on Saturday, and then just some really, really big games this week. So it's been fun, and the girls have played well.
All right, well, give us a rundown on what's going on.
All right, well, last weekend we headed to Owasso for a tournament. We were excited to see some of the teams from the southern part of the section. So we started off seeing Redwood Falls, and that's a much improved team. They had a nice young thrower. They got out to an early jump, a 1-0 lead on us, but we bounced back in the third inning, scoring 3 runs, and then scored another one in the fourth and got an insurance run in the sixth as well. We only had 2 hits against their hitter, and so but I think the big thing that helped us with success is when we had the hits and when we got walked, so we got runners on base, we created some havoc with some aggressive base running and whatnot. Val Piotr threw that game. She threw all 7 innings for us, gave up 5 hits, 1 run. It was not an earned run. She had 2 strikeouts and no walks, so she really did a nice job for us. Defensively, we had 3 errors, and that's something we need to clean up, because we've had a few of those here lately, and it just makes it a little bit more difficult. Our hitters for the day, Jalen Lee was 1-for-3, scoring a run with an RBI, and Brandy Meyer was 1-for-3, scoring 2 runs. So kind of a quiet game, but nonetheless, we got started off with a nice victory to start the day. So that was big for us. Then we moved on to Edgerton Southwest Minnesota Christian. That's a powerhouse in Section 3A. They've been to the state tournament, I think, the last, I'm going to say, 9 years, and they won it last year. They lost some key players last year, so we thought this would be a really nice test for us. And they're good again. We did not play very well. We had 4 errors again. Had some walks. Maya Swatsky started the game. She threw 3 innings, gave up 7 hits, 8 runs. 3 of them were earned. She had 4 strikeouts and 4 walks. Struggled to keep the ball down. Val Piotr came in then in the 4th inning. She threw 2 innings, gave up 7 hits, 4 runs. 2 of them were earned. Had 3 strikeouts and no walks. But we just, defensively, we struggled. We just weren't really in that game. Edgerton's got a strong lineup. But we swung it well. They had 14 hits, and we had 8 hits on the day. So the score ended up, we got 10 runs and 5. I got beat 12-2. But our hitters on the day, Kendall Shelstead was 2-for-3, scoring a run. Brandy Meyer was 1-for-3, scoring a run. Claire Borstead was 2-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Carson Whitnable had a hit. I believe that was her first varsity hit. So she was one for one, which is exciting for her. Maya Swatsky had a hit. She was one for one. And that pretty much equals our eight hits there. So that was kind of a tough game. Wasn't sure how we would roll from there, but we played in the third place game against KMS then on that day. And we gave Maya the ball again, and she bounced back nicely. She threw six innings, gave up two hits, scored one run. They gave up one run. It was not an earned run. She had eight strikeouts and one walk. Tough to beat a good team like KMS three times, and we had just beaten them twice the last week. They had jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the top of the first, and we battled back. We scored one in the bottom of the first, three in the bottom of the second, and one in the bottom of the third, and that proved to be enough on the day. Defensively, I'm just harping on this, but we've got to get better. We had four errors again. They also had four errors, so that helped out. But if we're going to get deep into this section run here, we're going to need to clean that up. Offensively, Jalen Lee was one for four with a run and an RBI. Kayla Jan scored two runs. She walked, and I believe she was maybe hit by a pitch. Kendall Shelstead was one for three. Claire Borstead was one for three. And Zoe Doctor was one for three, scoring a run. So again, we went two out of three down there, and there's some really good competition. So that was an exciting weekend for us, and we got a chance to do a little scouting and see some of the teams that we're going to potentially see in section play. Then we trickled into this week on Tuesday, where we had an awesome event out at the high school. Mike and Tammy Borstead, along with several parent volunteers, led the second annual Dugout Club Grill Out, where we had burgers, brats, steak cubes, just a spread, and had a great turnout, busy ball fields. It was Lacaparo, Ortonville, TMB, and Lakeview were all here throughout the day. So varsity games going on two fields and JV games going on the junior high field. So it was a beautiful day. So we played Lakeview first. Jalen Lee, we did very well. Jalen Lee was on for three, scoring two runs with an RBI. Kayla Jan was one for four, scoring two runs with an RBI. Kendall Shelstead stayed hot with her bat, going three for four, scoring two runs with an RBI. Brandy Meyer scored a run. Claire Borstead was one for four with three RBIs. Callie Kahn was one for four, scoring twice. Jada Kessler scored a run. And Val Piotr was one for three, scoring a run. Val also pitched for us all seven innings, gave up five hits, three runs, three earned runs, and had seven strikeouts and no walks. So that was a big win, and that led us into our second game against TMB. We swung it again pretty well here. Jalen Lee is our leadoff hitter. She went one for three, scoring a run. I should say we ended up winning against Lakeview. The final score was, if I'm going back to the previous game, was 11-3 in seven innings. Then we played Tracy, TMB, Tracy Milroy Ballatin, and ended up winning that game 5-3. Had a couple young pitchers that were competing. Maya's a seventh grader, and then the TMB pitcher's an eighth grader. So that was a fun game to watch. Both did a nice job. Maya threw all seven innings, gave up nine hits, three runs, two of them were earned, and had nine strikeouts and no walks. Offensively, Jalen Lee, like I said, was one for three with a run scored. Kayla Jan scored a run. Kendall Shelstead was one for three, scoring a run, and had an RBI. Brandy Meyer was one for three, scoring a run. Claire Borstead was three for three. She had the hot bat scoring a run and had two RBIs, and it was senior night for Claire. Claire's our only senior on the team, so it was fun to recognize her and then fun to have her just really explode in these games and play well. Callie Kahn was one for three. Jada Kessler was one for two. And we ended up with eight hits, had four errors again. So it sounds like a broken record, but we have to make these plays. as we get into section play, or they could potentially end our season. So hopefully we can clean things up. And then lastly, we're sitting undefeated in the conference. Minniota had one loss. There was a little bit of confusion. We thought they had two losses. There was some inaccurate information on websites that was incorrect. So long story short, they had one loss in the conference. We didn't have any losses, and that meant for a showdown for the last regular season conference game of the season. We hosted Minniota on Thursday, and that was a dogfight. We knew it was going to be a fun game. They had the Hennen girl through all seven innings. She arguably is possibly the best pitcher we've seen this year. She ended up striking us out 15 times with only one walk, and gave up only two hits to what I think is typically a pretty good Lacaparo hitting team. Maya Swatsky threw for Lacaparo all seven innings. She only gave up three hits. She gave up one run, was not an earned run, had seven strikeouts and two walks. So it truly was a dogfight. We just offensively couldn't get things going. We had three errors in this game. Offensively for our team, Jalen Lee was 1-for-3, and Kendall Shelstead was 1-for-3, and we just, like I said, we just couldn't quite get things going. Minniota ends up winning the game 1-0, and despite the fact that our conference records are the same and we each only have one loss, they win the conference with a tiebreaker of head-to-head. So kind of a sad moment, but in the same token, it battle tests us for Saturday, for section play, which we're excited about. And we found out on Friday morning that we will indeed be hosting. We are the one seed in Section 3A North. So on Tuesday, we will be hosting. There's some discussion about when those games will start. I'm thinking the first game will be at 3 o'clock p.m., but we'll just have to watch the website. And if people can get out, cheer our girls on for the last home games of the season, that would be great. We are going to be scheduled to kick off against McCray in our first game. So hopefully we will get a W right there and then just keep rolling from then on out. So looking forward to postseason play, and I think we're ready for it. All right. Thanks a bunch for having me on. I appreciate all of the support. Have a great day.
My name is Claire Borsted, and I'm a senior on the Lacaparo Valley softball team. Our team would like to thank the following home run sponsors: Lubbixing Tiling, Cargill, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholtz Concrete, Clement Electric, Kibble Equipment, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Triggerstead Pioneer Seed, Perry Sun Bank, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, Blake and Roma Dineen Family, Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Q92 FM Radio, Milan Legion Post number 359, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, Appleton Dental Care, Joe and Deb Schreier, Appleton Sportsman's Club, Golden Harvest Traeger Seeds, Appleton Area Health, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Ag Country, Zarbuck Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Milan Community Foundation, and the Appleton Community Foundation. Thank you to all our home run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LKPV Dugout Club.
Okay, back here at the Culture Show, I got time for one quick joke. What did the baby corn say to mama corn? Where is popcorn? Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
This is KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Beer years of an extended outage. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. Hundreds of thousands of customers still without power. Could take weeks to get it all back on this after hurricane force winds rocked the city of Houston earlier this week, killing at least seven people.
Wind speeds around 100 miles per hour, shattering those windows and blowing all that glass into the streets from those high rises in downtown Houston. Also, two confirmed tornadoes, EF1s, one in Cypress and one just to the south and west of Waller. And Baytown, straight line winds around 90 to 100 miles per hour.
Fox 26 Houston meteorologist Ramesha Shabe. The man who attacked Paul Pelosi will be behind bars for decades.
The man convicted of attacking former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband with a hammer will spend decades behind bars. 44-year-old David DePapp was sentenced Friday to 30 years in prison for attempted kidnapping and assault. It happened inside the Pelosi San Francisco home in October 2022. DePapp testified he wanted to interrogate Nancy Pelosi, who wasn't home at the time. Instead, he bludgeoned Paul Pelosi, who was left with a skull fracture.
Fox's Chan Lee Painter and one of David DePapp's lawyers arguing he was caught up in conspiracy theories. A New Mexico judge says she will rule next week on dismissing Alec Baldwin's indictment in connection with the deadly shooting of Rust cinematographer Helena Hutchins.